guide and also who guide others onto the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and take the signs that they see around themselves in the dunya and understand those signs, and they remind other people that this is none other from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we look at our very first command, the very first verse that was revealed to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, it is none other than the command from our Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from our Creator, from our Educator, from our Rabb, teaching us its obligation, the obligation of seeking knowledge. Because without knowledge, you do not know what is right, what is wrong. Without knowledge, you cannot transform your behavior, your conduct. Without knowledge, you cannot improve, you cannot progress. There cannot be anything without the understanding of knowledge, the application of knowledge, and the transmission of knowledge. So it is the bedrock. Because if you, for example, those people who suffered from dementia, they lack the knowledge of who they are. They lack the knowledge of their own identity, of their family, of their friends, of even their address. And imagine this faculty was taken away from you. You don't remember who you are, what your name is, where you live, all of your memories. How would your life be? It is because of that knowledge given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are able to live, you are able to grow, you are able to develop, you are able to get closer to one another, and more importantly, get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the very first command of iqra, to read, to recite, to proclaim, to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, reading is the essential part of seeking knowledge. Because without that reading, without that understanding, we cannot understand who we are, let alone understand our Lord. So to expand our understanding, to analyze the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to understand who we are and to reflect on the universe and our existence, all of this comes back to ilm. The ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ilm of the angels, the ilm of the anbiya alayhi salam and the mursaleen, and the ilm of qadri khayr and shar, and the ilm of good and bad and evil, the ilm of the Quran and sunnah, the ilm of the dunya, all of these uloom point us back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who has created this knowledge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the very first few verses of the glorious Quran, when He instructed us by saying, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. Allah Azza wa Jal is introducing Himself as our Rabb. And one of the meanings of Rabb is also the one who develops you from stage to stage. And that is the status and that is the function and the role of a teacher. They take you from your primary and they take you to your secondary and they take you to your college years and your A-levels and your universities. They develop you and they nurture you and they instill this knowledge upon you and they build upon the foundations of knowledge stage upon stage upon stage. Those are your educators in the dunya. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our true Lord, our true educator, the one who has given us all forms of knowledge. So Allah Azza wa Jal introduces Himself as the educator. And therefore, we as Muslims, we as human beings, we must turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to seek that knowledge. And the most important knowledge is the knowledge of the deen, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge of the Quran and Sunnah, the knowledge of our Sharia. But if you look at, unfortunately, the percentages, majority of us are seeking the knowledge of the dunya over the knowledge of the hereafter, over the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, it is only through knowledge can you recognize your Lord, understand His asma, understand His sifat, His names and His attributes. It's only through the knowledge can you understand what monotheism is, as opposed to all the other forms of worshipping other deities and idols and statues. It is only through knowledge can you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best of manners, in the most purified of manners. It is only through knowledge can you understand and recognize, can discern between what is good and that which is bad. It is only through knowledge can you grow and you progress as an individual. And even the beginning of creation, when you see Adam alayhi salam, his distinction was not through his limbs and his arms and his face and his heart or even his soul, but rather his distinction above and beyond the angels was due to his knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had embedded within him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa 'allama Adam al-asma'a, kullaha, that knowledge which gave him that greater recognition, the ability to understand the true majesty and the beauty and the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be able to understand and to make decisions of right and wrong and good and bad, to be able to learn and grow and progress. This is that knowledge that gave him that distinction. Whereas animals are very much like human beings if you look at them biologically. But what makes us distinct over the animals is we have that knowledge, we have the ability to discern, to decide, to function, to reason, to think, to reflect, and then to improve ourselves and also improve those that are around us. So the importance of knowledge, as I mentioned, is the bedrock of Islam, is the bedrock of our Muslim identity. It's important for our children to pursue knowledge. First and foremost, knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the deen, and then also alongside pursue the knowledge of the dunya as well. But whenever you do anything, the very first step is important, and that is the correct intention. Beginning in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing it and seeking knowledge for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not for the sake of the dunya, not for the sake of a degree, of power, of fame, of control, and all of these other things, of wealth. No, your intention is very, very important. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. So indeed, an action starts with the intention, as the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned. And a person will be rewarded only for that which he intended. So when you are sending your children to primary schools and secondary schools and to college and to universities, you as parents, you need to ask yourselves, what is your intention behind sending your child to school? And unfortunately, majority of us is because there is a competition with our cousins, with our neighbors, with our family members, or with our friends. Or such and such is a doctor, such and such is an engineer, such and such is an accountant. I want my son to be like this. I want my daughter to be like this as well. I want my daughter to have the biggest house or the biggest car and the best, all of these things. It's because of these intentions that we send our children to school, to colleges and universities. We want them to proceed and be successful in the dunya, but we don't really uncover the reasons why we are doing it. And the reasons are, majority of the reasons are these that I've mentioned. But what we should reflect on is make sure that we are sending our children so that with that knowledge they are able to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they see the ayat, when they see the signs in the dunya, when they see the science, when they see the beauty, when they see, but when they look at and understand biology or physics or mathematics or any other subject, they realize that none of this has been created by human beings, but rather all of this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These mountains, this ecosystem, the world that we live in, the solar system, everything is none other than the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they can only marvel at it and say subhanallah, say mashaAllah, or say Rabbana ma khalaqta hadha batila. Oh Allah, you haven't created this out of no reason. You have created this to show us that you are its creator. So for us all, it's very important when we are sending our children, make sure that you send them to transform their lives so that they can get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They can understand that Allah is the one who has given insan the ability to speak, given insan that tongue, given insan the faculty of intelligence, of emotions, of intelligence to understand and to reason, to transmit, to do all of these things. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given us all of these things, and through those abilities we are able to actually learn and progress and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore we must all seek knowledge and make sure that we send our children to seek knowledge, but for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for the sake of the dunya, of accolades and certificates and wealth and fame and power and control and all of these things, but to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to become a better person عند الله before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by following the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, to be a person who not just benefits themselves but benefits those that are around him. Do not seek knowledge purely for the success and the pleasures of the dunya, or to oppress other people, or to harm other people, or to seek superiority over the people, because that will be your downfall, not just in the dunya, but it will be your downfall in the hereafter as well. The Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam very explicitly mentioned that if anyone acquires knowledge that should be sought for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather instead he acquires it merely to get some worldly advantage, what will happen? Then that person will not experience the fragrance of paradise. If you cannot experience or smell the fragrance of paradise, then ask yourself that question, will you ever enter into the gardens of paradise? All uloom, all knowledges, all sciences, everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Insan hasn't created any knowledge, because this is our understanding of physics, it's under our understanding of mathematics, it's our understanding of biology, it's all our understanding of something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. It hasn't just come out of nothing, it's come via the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we don't seek knowledge to just be these people of the dunya, but we seek knowledge so that we can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, see His beauty, see His painting, see His orchestration, see all of the things that He has made, and seek our closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then and only then will we be able to enter into the gardens of paradise and smell the fragrance of paradise. So ask yourself, and most importantly, purify your intentions and correct your intentions, and make sure that you are sending your children with the correct intentions. And when they go, you are actively reminding them that, beta, or my son or my daughter, you're going to learn all of these things which should show you the strength and the power and the might and the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they come back and say, daddy or mommy, this is what I learned today, and then you connect all of their secular education, all the education of the dunya, the worldly things, and you connect it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because the West is the one that has severed the connection of the knowledge of the dunya to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have separated that. But we are the people of two eyes, so we have that balance. We are the people of the deen and the dunya. So whatever we learn from the dunya, we connect it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever we know of the deen, we also connect it to the dunya, because this is all part and parcel of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a very important reminder for our parents, and also for those seeking knowledge. Correct your knowledge, understand why you are going for this degree, what will it achieve, how will it bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how will it transform you, make you a better human being, how will you benefit yourself or other people, will this degree, will this job that you are undertaking, will it take you away from your 5 daily salah? Will it take you away from, you know, having a beard or wearing the correct attire and hijab and all of these things? Or will you just allow all of those things to override your faith and your identity and your Islam and say, oh, I need to do this. I need to do this for my degree, because I've invested so much time and money and effort. I need to do this for the sake of this degree. Whereas you should be doing things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The things that bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a very important foundational step that we must all correct in our lives, especially with our intentions as well. The second step for the youngsters is to make sure that we are not just equipped of the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also we are equally equipped and we understand our place here in the dunya as well. As Muslims, it's important for us to master the foundations of our religious sciences first. Our deen, of our wudu, of our tahara, of our ghusl, of our salah, of our iman, of our aqidah, of our belief, of salah, of zakah, of hajj, of sawmah, all of these things, we must make sure that we understand all of these things and we begin that transformation progress within ourselves. Because the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentions that the best of you are those who learn the Qur'an and teach the Qur'an. This is the best knowledge. This is the direct knowledge. This is the revelation. This is the wahi. This is the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Within this you will find all of the answers to your life. So ulum al-diniya, which is through revelation, which is unadulterated, which is protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ulum of the Qur'an is an integral part of who we are. And we must hold on fast to this ulum, to this knowledge, because this is our base. This is the knowledge that does not change. What science believed 50 years ago, what science believed 100 years ago, they are constantly saying, no, that's an old theory now, we have to reject that now. Now we have a new theory, now we have a new hypothesis, now we have this and now we have that. They are constantly changing their beliefs, their aqidah, all the time. Imagine you tell your child today, this is white, and tomorrow you say, this is black. And then in 10 years time you say, no, this is wrong. The child will be in a constant state of flux. Whereas our base, our bedrock is that we have the Qur'an and Sunnah, and we know these are not changing. These are there, these are firm, and these are everlasting, and they will stay there until the day of Qiyamah. And therefore, our core, our foundation in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, gives us that stability, gives us that safety, and gives us the ability to go forward, but still be safe and protected in knowing who we are, and knowing our purpose in the dunya, and knowing where we are going towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because many people who study philosophy, who study other subjects, that because they are not firmly grounded in their deen, they end up moving away from their deen completely. I've seen it myself, and I'm sure you've experienced it or heard of it. Our students, our children going to universities, and they come back and they no longer want to accept Islam. They are questioning everything, and they think, why should I do this? Why should I do that? It's because we have failed in making sure that we gave them firm foundations of understanding who they were and what their Islam meant and their identity. We just allowed them to be wishy-washy. So when they went, they ended up challenging and questioning everything, which is what they are taught to do in the universities. Criticize and challenge and analyze everything, whereas our deen is not subject to criticism, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. Our deen is perfect, the Quran is perfect, the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam has been given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, preserved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore we need to be firm in our deen first and foremost before we pursue our dunya. Often we pursue our dunya 80 to 90% and then we try to shove in 20% of the deen, but then it doesn't work anymore because the mind has been changed in terms of the way how it approaches and accepts certain things. So we need to make sure that we do the best towards our children in ulum al-diniya through revelation, and then make sure that they pursue the ulum al-dunyawiyya, which is acquired through human reason, through thoughts and experiments and analysis and discoveries. Both, yes, are important for Muslims to lead a successful life in the physical world. But remember, this physical world is perhaps 40, 50, 60, 70 years of your life. But what is more lasting and everlasting is the eternal world, is the life of the hereafter, when we return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have the Qur'an, the textual revelation, the ayat Qur'aniyya. We have our deen through wahi, and this is there, not subject to change, not subject to manipulation. Whatever is there in the Qur'an, we accept that and we follow that, whether we understand that or not, what we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. But the deen, this is the deen. And then we have the intellectual revelation, which is ayat al-kawniya, the things of the dunya, which we need to learn and acquire through observation, through critical analysis, through scientific inquiry and methodological learning. All of these things we need to do. And we see that there was this beautiful balance in the Islamic history. We see that the pinnacle of Islamic civilization, we saw so much development in science, in astronomy, in astrology, in obviously mathematics, in optics, in medicine, in so many other things. We have Ibn Khaldun, we have Ibn Sina, we have Ibn Haytham, we have Al-Bayruni, and we have so many Islamic scholars who were firmly grounded in their deen, like Al-Ghazali in philosophy, but also they pursued the knowledge of the dunya as well. But we are lacking our deen and we are just pursuing the dunya, and this is where it becomes very, very dangerous for us. So we need to reclaim our rich tradition of knowledge, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost, and then knowledge of the dunya with the correct intention, so we can utilize that knowledge to transform ourselves, benefit ourselves, and also those that are around us. But then the third step, which is a very important step after the intention and pursuing the deen and the dunya, is to make sure that we exercise that intellectual humility in our pursuance of that knowledge. Because humility is that attitude that the seekers of knowledge should internalize and demonstrate in their conduct, in their behavior, how they carry themselves and how they talk to other people and approach other people. The more knowledge that you acquire, it's very easy for you to become arrogant with that knowledge. Very easy for you to talk down to people with that knowledge. It's very easy for you to abuse that knowledge and that position as well. Whereas knowledge is there for you to become humble. Look at how much knowledge the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was bestowed upon by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had direct wahi, direct revelation given to him onto his tender heart and to his beautiful mind. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expanded his chest. He had so much knowledge given to him of the deen, of the dunya, of the akhirah, from the beginning of creation till the end, given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you saw him, the most humble servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, walking with his head down, never raising his gaze, being humble, being kind, being compassionate and merciful. And even if a child held his hand, Quran. He would walk with that child and go to the level of that child and speak to that child at their level and talking to other people based on their ability. He would never show off or be arrogant with the knowledge that he had. Whereas we see doctors, we see physicians, we see engineers, we see people on, of different, obviously, fields, and they are arrogant with their knowledge. Unfortunately, oh, what do you know? Pagal, jahil, pendulum. We use these kind of terminologies. But no, we need to be humble in our approach. We cannot allow the knowledge to destroy us or to cloud our mind, because Shaitan had knowledge. He had a huge amount of knowledge, but that knowledge came with arrogance. It came with kibr. And because of that kibr and that arrogance, then he was thrown out of the heaven, thrown away from the mercy and the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because his knowledge just, you know, overcame him. And we need to make sure that we always exercise our intellectual humility in our path, in seeking knowledge that should bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and constantly remind ourselves that what knowledge that we have is nothing. If we took all of the oceans, we're not even one small drop, we're not even one atom from the ocean of knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us here in the dunya. We don't even have any knowledge of our ruh or anything else. These are way beyond our intellect and understanding. So we should always be humble. No matter how great you are, always be humble when you are discussing with other people. And most importantly, remember when you are in your salah, whether you are a rich man or a poor man or the most intelligent person in the dunya, you all bow down and you all submit and surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you say, Allah, I am nothing before you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest. So knowledge should make you humble, should make you kind and merciful, it should bring you closer to humanity, and most importantly, it should bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowledge is there to be used to benefit not just yourself, but other people. It is not there to be abused for yourself or for other people. So we must prepare ourselves, and especially our children, correct our intentions and the intentions of our children when we are sending them to their schools and colleges and universities, to remind them this is why we seek knowledge, to get closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. We need to equip them with the knowledge of the deen first and foremost before we equip them and send them out to equip them to seek the knowledge of the dunya, and make sure that we ourselves conduct ourselves in the most humble of manners, and then we expect that of our children as well. And those people who are humble for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jalla raises them not just in the dunya, but more importantly in the hereafter as well. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to understand the importance of knowledge and the true, correct application of knowledge.